twining plants. This is the largest subdivision and is apparently the primordial and simplest condition of the class. My observations will be best given by taking a few special cases. When the shoot of a hop rises from the ground, two or three first-formed joints or internodes are straight and remain stationary, but the next formed, while very young, may be seen to bend to one side and travel slowly round towards all points of the compass, moving, like the hands of a watch, with the sun. The movement very soon acquires its full ordinary velocity. From 7 observations made during August on shoots proceeding from a plant which had been cut down, and on another plant during April, the average rate during hot weather made during the day is 2 hours 8 minutes for each revolution, and none of the revolutions varied much from this rate. The revolving movement continues as long as the plant continues to grow, but each separate internode, as it becomes old, ceases to move. To ascertain more precisely what amounts of movement each internode underwent, I kept a potted plant during the night and day in a well-warmed room to which I was confined by illness. A long shoot projected beyond the upper end of the supporting stick and was steadily revolving. I then took a longer stick and tied up the shoot so that only a very young internode, 1¾ inches in length, was left free. This was so nearly upright that its revolution could not be easily observed, but it certainly moved, and the side of the internode, which was at one time convex, became concave, which, as we shall hereafter see, is a sure sign of the revolving movement. I will assume that it made at least one revolution during the first 24 hours. Early in the next morning, its position was marked, and it made a second revolution in 9 hours. During the latter part of its revolution, it moved much quicker, and the third circle was performed in the evening in a little over 3 hours. As on the succeeding monitoring, I found that the shoot revolved in 2 hours 45 minutes. It must have been during the night, four revolutions, each at the average rate of a little over 3 hours. I should add that the temperature of the room only varied a little. The shoot had not grown 3½ inches in length and carried at its extremity a young internode 1 inch in length, which showed slight changes in its curvature. The next, or ninth, revolution was effected in 2 hours 30 minutes. From this time forward, the revolutions were easily observed. The 36th revolution was performed at the usual rate, and so was the last, or 37th, but it was not completed, for the internode suddenly became upright, and after moving to the center, remained motionless. I tied a weight to its upper end so as to bow it slightly and thus detect any movement, but there was none. Sometime before the last revolution was half performed, the lower part of the internode ceased to move. A few more remarks will complete all that is now that need to be said about this internode. It moved during 5 days, but the more rapid the movements after the performance of the third revolution lasted 3 days 20 hours. The regular revolutions from the 9th to the 36th inclusive were effectively at the average rate of 2 hours 31 minutes, but the weather was cold and this affected the temperature in the room, especially during the night, and consequently retarded the rate of movement a little. There was only one irregular movement, which consisted of the stem rapidly making, after an unusually slow revolution, only the segment of a circle. After the 7th revolution, the internode had grown from 1¾ inches to 6 inches in length, and it carried an internode 1⅞ inches long, which was just perceptibly moving and carried a very minute ultimate internode. And after the 21st revolution, the penultimate internode was 2½ inches long and probably revolved in a period of about 3 hours. At the 27th revolution, At the 27th revolution, the lower and still moving internode was 8⅜, the penultimate 3½, and the ultimate 2½ inches in length. Excuse me. And the inclination of the whole shoot was such that a circle 19 inches in diameter was swept by it. When the movement ceased, the lower internode was 9 inches when the penultimate 6 inches in length. So that for the 27th and 37th revolutions inclusive, these three internodes were at the same time revolving. The lower internode, when it ceased revolving, became upright and rigid, but as the whole shoot was left to grow unsupported, it became, after a time, bent nearly to a horizontal position, the uppermost and growing internode still revolving at the extremity, but of course no longer around the old central point of the supporting stick. From the changed position at the center of gravity at the extremity, as it revolved, a slight and slow swaying movement was given to the long, horizontally projecting shoot in this movement. And this movement I first thought was a spontaneous one. As the shoot grew, it hung down more and more, whilst growing and revolving. Extremity turned itself up more and more. With the hop, we have seen that three intermodes were at the same time revolving, and this was the case with most of the plants observed by me. With all, if in full health, two internodes revolved so that by the time the lower one ceased to revolve, the one above was in full action, with a terminal internode just commencing to move. With Yaya Carnosa, on the other hand, a depending shoot, without any developed leaves, 32 inches in length and consisting of 7 internodes, a minute and terminal one, an inch in length being counted continually but slowly swayed from side to side in a semicircular course, with the extreme internodes making complete revolutions. This swaying movement was certainly due to the movement of the lower internodes, which, however, had not force sufficient to swing the whole chute round the central supporting stick. The case of another, oh gosh, that's a word I can't pronounce, plant is worth briefly giving. I allowed the top to grow out almost horizontally to the length of 31 inches. This now consisted of three long internodes terminated by two short ones. The whole revolved in a good course, up opposed to the sun, the reverse of that of the hop, at race between 5 hours and 15 minutes and 6 hours and 45 minutes for each revolution. The extreme tip thus made a circle of above 5 feet or 62 inches in diameter and 16 feet in circumference, traveling at the same rate of 32 or 33 inches per hour. The weather being hot, the plant was allowed to stand on my study table, and it was an interesting spectacle to watch the long shoot sweeping this grand circle night and day in search of some object around which to twine. If we take hold of a growing sapling, we can of course bend it to all sides in succession so as to make the tip describe a circle. Like that performed by the summit of a spontaneously revolving plant. This sapling is not in the least twisted around its own axis. I mention this because if a black point be painted on the bark on the side, which is uppermost when the sapling is bent towards the holder's body, the circle is described. The black point gradually turns around and sinks to the lower side, and comes up again when the circle is completed. And this Oh, gives the false appearance of twisting, which in the case of spontaneously revolving plants deceived me for a time. The appearance, is the more deceitful because of the axis of nearly all twining plants are really twisted. They are twisted in the same direction with the spontaneous revolving movement. To give an instance, the inner note of the hop, of which the history has been recorded, was at first could be seen by the ridges on its surface, not in the least twined. But after the 37th revolution, it... it had grown 9 inches long. And its revolving movement had ceased. It had become twisted 3 times around its own axis in the line of the course of the sun. On the other hand, the common other plant that I can't say, which revolves in an opposite course to the hop, becomes twisted in an opposite direction. Hence, it is not surprising that Hugo von Moll thought of the twisting axis caused by the revolving movement, but it is not possible that the twisting of the axis of the hop 3 times could have caused 37 revolutions. Moreover, the revolving movement commenced in the young internode before any twisting of its axis could be detected. Can you hear me fucking myself on my toy? Fuck. Yes. Fuck. I lost my place. But it is not possible that moreover, the revolving movement commenced by the young internode before any twisting on its axis could be detected. The internodes of the young Siphomeris and Lyconda revolved during several days, but became twisted only once around their own axes. The best evidence, however, of that twisting does not cause the revolving movement is afforded by many leaf-climbing and tendril-bearing plants, such as a whole string of shit I can't say, of which the internodes are not twisted, but which shall hereafter see regularly perform regularly perform revolving movements like those of the true twining plants. Moreover, according to Palm and Moll and Lyon, internodes be occasionally, but even not very rarely be found, which are twisted in an opposite direction to other internodes on the same plant, and to the course of their revolutions. And this, according to Lyon, is the case with all the internodes of a certain variety of Phyllocils multiflorus. Internodes which have become twisted around their own axes, if they have not ceased to revolve, are still capable of twining around a support, as I have several times observed. That's not enough. I'm gonna get my other toy. Moll has remarked that when a stem twines around, a smooth cylindrical stick, it does not become twisted. Accordingly, I allowed kidney beans to run up a stretched string and smooth rods of iron and glass, 1/3 of it, 1 inch in diameter. And they became twisted only in that degree which, allows mechanical necessity from the spiral winding. The stems, on the other hand, which had ascended ordinary rough sticks. No, not yet. Which had ascended. Originally, rough sticks were all more or less generally twisted. Oh, the influence of the roughness of the support in causing axial twisting, as well as seen in the stems. Oh, these places became much twisted. As soon as the stems which had ascended the iron rods reached the summit and became free, they also became twisted, and this apparently occurred more quickly during windy than, oh, during calm weather. Some facts would be given. Several facts would be given showing that they also became axial twisting stands in some relation to inequalities. Oh, fuck. Inequalities with the support, and likewise to the chute revolving, oh, fuck, freely without any support. Oh, my God. Fuck, I'm so close. Fuck. Oh, I didn't mean to come, but fuck. Oh, many plants which are not twiners become in some degree twisted around their own axis, but this occurs so much more generally. And strongly. With twisting plants with other plants, there must be some connection. Fuck. Between the capacity for 20 and axial twisting. Fuck. Okay, we're almost to the end of the paragraph. We'll get to the end of the paragraph. Oh, I'm going to take it out. The stem probably gains rigidity by being twisted over the same principle. On the same principle that a much twisted rope is stiffer than a slackly twisted one, and thus is indirectly benefited so as to be enabled to pass over. Yes, yes, you've done your job. Now hush. Yes, yes. Very well. Okay, there we go. The stem probably gains rigidity by being twisted on the same plane, on the same principle that a much twisted rope is stiffer than a slackly twisted one, and is thus indirectly benefited so as to be enabled to pass over inequities in its spiral ascent and to carry on its own weight when allowed to revolve freely. Indeed.